To me, though, that does not seem the norm. I mean, you hear most places, I can't wait to get an early retirement.
We were never, I thought, happy. I sort of watched it because I didn't want it to go. As I said before, we all did 2 or 3 jobs. We really only did all these. Now we're getting more professional. They poo-poo me when I say Whitco's a lot of small companies the way we run them. It's not a big company. It's not a billion cent. It's a little $50 million company there. It's a $40 million company, $150 million company. They run their companies. There's a corporate vice president runs those. He runs the manufacturing, the marketing, the research, the tech service, everything. All we do here at Whitco is handle accounting and credit and human resources, and I call some of the legal. And we leave these guys alone to run their business. If they got a lawsuit, send it in New York. We take care of it. Credits, they don't even worry about credits or collections. So it's a simplified line organization. Operations, so there's a lot of little businesses. And therefore, you can't build a big infrastructure. Central engineering does the engineering. We don't have engineering capabilities in every one of our divisions. We have small engineering capabilities in the big divisions. But we have central engineering that go out on a job, they live on a job, they'll turnkey a job and hand it back to them. What a great way to run a business. I want a new sulfonate plant. Okay. Whitco provides the financing. We do everything, and 24 months later, here's the key. There's a nice new plan for you, manager. Simple way. While you're busy, we hope getting orders. So it's the way we've run it. Now, whether you can run it that way today, I don't know. Anyway, I'm retired. I like that.
Company loyalty.
Tremendous.
I would assume so from what you said.
Promotion from within, turnover is negligible, that may be bad. Very seldom do we go out for outside and certain jobs we almost have to go outside. We don't have the in-house expertise. But we start off with our engineering. Our central engineering people are great. They go out on the job, they live in a little shack for 6 months, they construct a job. They're process engineers or chemical engineers with a process background. The movement from within has been nice. So Bill Mahoney came up from Memphis not too long ago. Bill Toler came up from Houston not too long ago. I've been successful in talking people into New York. They say New York is not, people don't want to come here. I don't believe that. Nobody lives in New York. They like to come to New York. Well, they all live 20, 30 miles out of New York. That's why their kids go to school out there. And New York's exciting. New York's got everything, I think. I'd die to think of living in Houston. And eventually, I guess they'll move. They want to get a fish and they'll move, so it's up to them. When I was here, we weren't going to move out of New York. Awful out there. You live where?
I'm in Philadelphia.
Well, that's at least a cosmopolitan city. But I don't think you want to live in Dubuque, Iowa.
No. I spent 2 years in New York in the 50s, and it was great. I live in Greenwich.
That's because you're the signal.
Sure.
It's always single. It's always great when you're single. On the record, he's laughing, but he says, that's true.
It is.
Well, we have good loyalty, very low turnover. We don't get much out from the outside. That's why being in the boondocks wouldn't be good. But at least in the city, there's an excitement. There's all these meetings that you can go to. God, when I was young, there was something going on in New York every single night, every day, in between traveling.
So a lot of the industry organizations were headquartered here. Your other businesses were located, headquarters were here. You could probably meet people much more easily here in New York.
We used to have the Chemist Club. Of course, the Rubber Group was here, the Paint, Varnish, and Lacquer Association, the plastic section of the CMA. A lot of things were going on. Now, of course, a lot of companies moved out of New York. Things have changed. It's still the center of insurance and banking and export documentation. I don't know. I find it exciting because I'm a New Yorker. I live in New York. It was a commute. I find it so exciting. Well, they all think if we move to the country, it's going to be right next door to them. They forget. If we go to Jersey, the Connecticut people had another half hour to go, or vice versa. You know, everybody thinks the ideal thing to have the office done, like I am. The office down the street. I live on 56 and the office here on 54. That's ideal. So I tell them, and they're making enough money, by the way. Salaries, I think, are just tremendous. They're making enough to move to New York. They really are. I'm talking to the top people. I have no business in the world commuting an hour and a half each way each day. No business in the world. They're nuts. They can talk all they want about costs, if they keep fair costs in the second car, because they have a company car, and shoveling the snow, and commuting, and painting their house, or painting the interior every 4 or 5 years, and all the work that's done out there versus coming to the city, especially after their kids have grown up, and renting an apartment. They're nuts to live in the city. They go home at 6 or 6:30, or call your wife, let's go to a movie, let's go to a theater tonight, let's go to the art museum, let's this. Everything is here. They get on the train, they go home, they get home at 8 o'clock like I used to, and there's nothing there. They eat dinner and they go to sleep. They're nuts. Because that's my speech to them. Try it. Come to New York. I got a couple of moving already. Two big ones moved in the last year. And both of them love it.
Is that attitude changing? I mean, Greenwich, Stanford, that area, all the corporate headquarters are out there.
Commuting is bad. You want to see the bumper-to-bumper traffic there in the afternoons. If I go up there on a call, at 4:30, the Hudson River Parkway is bumper-to-bumper. Everybody's out there. Who was it just recently? There's a big article in the New York Times. 16 years ago, they moved there, and now they're moving to Atlanta for the same reason they said they moved out of New York. Schools, taxes, transportation, traffic, everything else. New York has no traffic. Don't even I'll have a car. I walked to work.
Yeah, I didn't need one.
I don't need one. Right. I was the only one in the company. It's entitled a company car. Over a certain position. The last 7 years, I refused to take a company car. I don't want it. I want a company car. I walk.
Well, right now, I'm doing that in Philadelphia, and it's great. It's the first time I've been able to do it in my life, and it's great to walk around the corner and go to work.
Philadelphia's nice, that old section down there.
Rittenhouse Square.
Rittenhouse Square, yeah.
Well, is there anything you'd like to mention that I haven't asked
you? I see
you've
got a pretty good archive there.
What?
I see that. Where do you get that? So you push the computer and out it comes? Or do you get
stuff my research assistant.
I mean, where do they get this from? Do you have a service that does it?
No, she just goes to the computer.
So that's old. That's really old. I've got that right here in my
drawer. This is 1966.
Now, where did you get that from? New York Times.
Microfilm.
I've got this in my box right there. Okay. Yeah, that's Max.
Right.
That's Max. Back in 69.
Oh, and that's the...
He got murdered, by the way.
Yes, you told me
he got murdered.
And that's...
No, he got murdered.
Oh, he did.
Oh, big.
Really?
A new book out on him. Just
oh, really?
Called Blue Thunder. He and George Bush were great personal friends, and the CIA and the Mafia. I don't know, it's all bullshit. And still, they arrested somebody. He got shot six right in front of his factory. Bang, 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 bang. He found a couple of years ago.
Oh, my gosh. Blue Thunder, is that
it? Blue Thunder's name of the book just came out.
He
was building a boat called the Blue Thunder for the Coast Guard. George Bush fell in love with it. It's a silly book, but it's... It won't get a Pulitzer Prize out of it. Is there anything else to say? I find business very simplistic if you follow certain lines. Again, you can't vary, you can't be... This would go to the left one day, go straight the next day. There's a certain way you got to run your life, personal life, and your business. I tell young people, you can't shade it this way one day and then decide you're going to... You got to earn a reputation. People, it takes a lot of years to earn a reputation. When overnight it can go, it's just gone. Once it's gone forever. So I try to get our people to certainly be very law-abiding. We don't collude on prices. When it comes to ecology, God damn. Some even an unreasonable. We lean over backwards. Sure, we're paying for the sins of things that we did 20 years ago. What we did 20 years ago was legal. It still seems to me illegal, immoral, or unconstitutional to pass new laws retroactive. It got to be unconstitutional. But the government, and the government is the worst polluter, by way of anybody in the world. These arsenals. I get out of some of these arsenals. I can't believe what they've dumped over the last 30, 40 years at Edgewood Arsenal, a place like that. I mean, this is unbelievable. But what was done 25 years ago, everybody, you did it. There was nothing illegal about doing it. Now they say, by the way, what you did, we just passed a law. That was illegal, what you did, and therefore we're going to penalize you for it. Criminally, RICO, triple down, whatever it is to threaten you to... I don't quite understand to this day. Our people tell us it's been upheld in the Supreme Court, but the passing of laws I can understand, the retroactivity of them, I still can't understand. where the governor wouldn't say, hey, we changed the rules now, we're going to be responsible, you've got to be responsible from here on forward, from here on backward, we'll take care of it. But to say you, or the deep pockets theory, you're the only one that's left around town that's got any money, therefore you're in trouble. You put 10 drums in this 1,000 drums, you're fully responsible. The law's upheld that, by the way. 10 of your drums are in this 1,000 drum pile, but the 990 drums, those people are out of business, so therefore you've got to clean it up or triple damage, or we'll do it and charge you. Anyway, the problems of business today are not as productive. I think company-wise, we're now ahead of Europe. I think Europe is paying the penalty for what we've been paying the last 10 years. Especially Eastern Bloc Europe is unbelievably polluted. Polluted, inefficient, broken down. Western Europe is polluted but efficient. Building a business is pretty easy. You know, make a product, you know, price it fairly, you go out and sell it fairly. Doesn't seem hard. I think today financing your business is entirely different. We've done it our way. We've done it long range, well spread. Let me see if I got our spreadsheet here. It's amazing how I'm throwing stuff out getting ready to move. Here's a spreadsheet of all of our debt, total corporate debt, showing on the spreadsheet here all the different debts of the company and how much is due through the year 2012, with only one peak here, which is this industrial revenue bond. But otherwise, this was the 5.5% we just borrowed, $150 million, all spread seven all over every year. So there's been no drain on the company's earnings to pay the debt. And I feel sorry for people today that are building a business and work all day and all week, and Friday night at midnight they put all the money in a wheelbarrow and they run it down to the bank and say, here's our interest. There's nothing left to build a business. They're nuts. They've got to be crazy to have financed a business with nothing left to build it. How could they do that? They destroyed businesses. Hello? Yeah. In the meeting, Joe, I'll be calling back.
Do you think after the experience of the 80s that that attitude's changing a little bit?
No, the reason they can't get it. They'd be happy to take it. Somebody walked in tomorrow and said, Donald Trump will give you $1 billion. They'll take it. You know, he's took it. They just won't give it to him anymore. They got too smart. But, banks got their own trouble. They've written down the junk bonds and the insurance companies and the bank. It's like a house of cards. Gets you worried, and yet doesn't seem to bother the stock market, does it?
No.
That's another world. Another world. Nothing to do with that. Sure. So that's really what I got to say is it's been a lovely experience, you know, since the early 40s. Capable people going to carry on. And it's a sound business with sound products and plants and people and balance sheet. They can't ruin it too much. So I keep saying I'll come back. So that scares nothing. That scares us. So
you won't be too far away.
They wanted me to stay here, which was nice. I didn't want to stay. I remember my father. I said to him, from 65 to 88, he said again, the corner office's door was open. I'd walk by if you were in town. No, you came to see me. I'd walk you by and he'd wave and I'd walk in and introduce you, tell you why you're here, sit down, he'd have a cup of coffee with. It was nice. And then when you leave, he'd say, what the hell are you doing here? What are you wasting your time on now? You should be out getting orders. Pretty well fine. So I decided to get out of here. Is that right? He would do that. So I decided I want to get out. I didn't want to be in their hair. Let them alone. They got their work to do. They'll do it their way. Nothing wrong with that. Okay.
Well, thank you very much for your.
You got a copy of this?
Yeah. Well, somewhere.
Did I give it to you? I'm going to make you a copy.
I have one here. Yes.
You don't need the names of the employees. I'll give you a cab. I'll give you the insurance thing.
Okay.
The alien property. I would try to buy that.
Right. That's fascinating. That's fascinating.
How we sent people out to look for it.
Well, I want to thank you very much for spending the time with me.
You.